know what you're talking about. Who's he talking
to? Why are you talking to me?
How does he make his voice?
You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about!
Talking is what we're talking about. Classic hits, 98.9 WJEZ. It is Jock Gibberish. I'm Todd Weinbrenner. Good to be here with you on what's turning out to be a sunny Tuesday morning in central Illinois. We've got all kinds of things to talk about today, and joining me to have that conversation, of course, is Kat. How are you doing, Kat?
I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself?
Well, I'm not doing too bad. Looking out the window, the weather service earlier was calling for clouds today. We may still see some.
Yeah, they're going to have some. The clouds are supposed to take over later. So I've decided in my show today, I'm just going to say sun and clouds.
There you go. Which is true.
True.
I used to have a goofy meteorologist geek friend who would always say, you realize, of course, even if it's cloudy, the sun is still shining. You just can't see it.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's what I always said. I'm like, give me a break.
If it's not, if I can't see it, it ain't happening.
There you go. There you go.
Whatever it is.
I would like to see the sun shining on me, you know. We need to mention, Kat, that you're going to be having some fun tomorrow night. After the sun stops shining, you're going to be hosting trivia night again out of Gig's Place in Fairbury.
Super excited. We had our best night ever last week. We had, are you ready for this? 8 teams.
It's pretty awesome.
Hello.
Actually.
And teams, hello.
Teams can be from 1 to 6, so
yes.
That's turning into a group full of people.
Yeah, and here's the deal. It's free.
There you go.
It's free to play. I mean, we want you to come in and, you know, get something to eat, have some drinks, you know, have a good time. But, yeah, it's free to play. And you could win. I haven't seen you there yet. I'm waiting for my radio crew. Come and support me or heckle me.
Well, I have to get up early, so weeknights are kind of tough for me.
Take but a nap.
If I take a nap, I could come out and have some fun. But
we're done by 9.
Oh, well, that makes a little difference then.
We'll
see if we can figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great time. So I encourage everybody to come out. It's really a whole lot of fun. I have said this before, but it's like, you know, just inviting a bunch of friends over, except you don't have to cook or clean.
Well, there you
go. Gigs gotcha.
There you go. And the reason we talked to Kat about this, Kat is your host. And
yes.
She will not be playing. She runs the game.
She's
the mistress of ceremonies.
I run the game with a little help from all my friends that are there, because I'm known to make many, many a mistake.
Well,
microphone reverbs, you know. It's
That kind of stuff goes with the territory. That's no problem.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody thinks, oh, because you're a radio DJ, you can go out and do MC anything, right? Not so much.
Exactly. Kind of a whole different world. You know, they have some things in common, but a PA system is not the same as what happens at a radio station.
No, and every week I get there, I cannot set it up. So Coppinger has to save the day.
Well, Kat is going to be there at 7 o'clock, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Gig's Place in Fairbury. So have some fun with her, and we will have some fun right now on the radio, Kat.
Let's do it.
We want to talk about money.
Money, money, money.
This is actually the results of a survey they took in Australia, but industrialized nations, you know, opinions don't vary that much.
Is
so,
Australia industrialized? Because, you know, they're down under.
They are industrialized enough to argue with our president, so that puts them in a unique league.
He's got to learn to be nice.
We won't talk about the president. We'll get off on a tangent here.
I just want him to be nice to everybody.
Wouldn't it be nice if he was at least diplomatic? That would be a step in the right direction. But
he wouldn't even shake hands with Angela Merkel. Okay, I'm done.
And that's Angela Merkel, one of the most respected national leaders in the world, you know.
Yeah.
This is not Kim Jong-un, you know. This is a respected individual.
I would shake hands with him with one of those buzzers, you know, in my hand. Whoa! And then I would have him sit on a whoopee cushion.
Then
now
let me shake hands with Melania. No, she's she's on to me. Well, we want to talk about what they said in Australia when it came to money. And a lot of people in Australia, the question was, if you want $1 million... which it turns out is about $800,000 in U.S. dollars.
But it's less than that by the time you get done paying taxes.
Well, that's true, too. But the point is they asked people if they thought that winning $1 million would set them up for life, would take care of their financial needs.
No.
Yeah, only 24% thought it would even totally change their lives.
Well, you know, I've said this before. My uncle won on a scratch-off that he got at Casey's in Fairbury. And no, you do not win $1 million and become a millionaire.
You won a jackpot, and that's about all you can say for yourself.
That's right.
You
know? That's right.
I read the most interesting article once, and it was, you know, Mark Cuban, who's mm-hmm. on Shark Tank and a well-known billionaire and business investor and venture capitalist. He was talking about winning the lottery, and he said, getting a pocket full of money does not make you a business person,
no.
nor does it make you a good investor.
No.
So he said, if you win that huge jackpot, he said, sign the papers, take the annual payout, which is more money than you ever thought you would make in a year in your life, and just be happy. He said, don't let people fill you with all this nonsense about,
yeah.
oh, you can make so much more if you take it as a lump sum. He said, most of those people are broke, you know, because they don't know what to do with that kind of money.
Well, there is that. But the other philosophy on that is, you know, you could be dead.
Well, that's
so,
true,
you know, take it in a lump sum. Because then at least you get to see it, smell it, and taste it before you're dead.
Well, I guess that's true. But
always the optimist here.
If you talk about those huge awards, I am such a creature of the moment. I would be delighted if somebody sent me what was one of the latest Publishers Clearinghouse, like $5,000 a week.
It's
or
$7,000 a week, isn't it?
Something like that. And I said I would be tickled beyond imagining.
Would you quit your job?
Yeah, if I got $7,000 a week for doing nothing, I probably would.
You would not stay on just to wake up Livingston County every morning.
I'd volunteer to do an afternoon show.
Oh, wait a second.
Getting up early in the morning might have to go. But it's scary, isn't it? And my brother and his wife made this remark once, and this is something that affects a lot of people. When we start talking about $1 million, they said, you know, it really isn't that much anymore. And
no.
we're not talking about cash. They don't have $1 million in the bank. But they
no.
said, if you talk about net worth, finding
yeah.
a person with $1 million of net worth is not that unusual anymore. Well, so, yeah, it's unusual in my house. But, you know, they said if you
wow.
look at the value of your home, if you look at insurance policies you may own, which you can, you know, you can
okay.
include in your net worth and just different holdings you have,
okay.
it adds up pretty quick.
Not to a million.
Not in my case.
Not unless I'm doing my Southern Illinois math.
Well, 17% of the people surveyed said they would need more like $6 million.
Seriously.
To change their lives.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I'm going to say $1 million would change your life.
Sure.
But good luck being, like Mark Cuban says, being smart about it. You know,
yeah.
that's going to be difficult.
30% said $8 million would allow them to live the rest of their life and not have to worry about money anymore. I would have to think that would
yeah.
be a boost to just about anybody.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so. I agree.
And the biggest thing is discipline, of course. You know, if you have access to $8 million, telling yourself, you know, I live perfectly happily on dramatically less than that.
Yeah.
And you just don't increase your lifestyle all that much. You buy a few key things.
Yeah.
Pay off your house, pay off your cars, do, you know, set up inheritances for your children if you want, and then just live modestly.
That's a good idea.
I think it
Let's
could.
Do it.
I mean, $8 million could do it, you know.
But $5,000 to $7,000 a week?
It's a lot of money.
See, I'm thinking that's just not even, I mean, that's just dumb.
What's that?
Why would they even give away that much money? That's just stupid.
I don't know.
That
what,
is more
I don't know what you
money
mean.
Than people need.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. They're just going to get themselves in trouble?
I mean,
is that what
yeah,
you're saying?
At that point, it's just obnoxious. Now, give me $1,000 a week for the rest of my life.
Sure.
And that's something to think about. But $5,000 to $7,000?
Well, they have to make it something that people want to get involved with. Because you figure $1,000 a week, a lot of people make that and much more than that already. That's,
but think
know.
About that. You keep your job.
Yeah. It would make a difference. There's no question. And this is something I've always said. Wouldn't it be lovely to get yourself in a position where you could take a job that pays
yeah.
much less than what you need because you have this other money coming in to
yes.
cover
yes.
your mortgage and your, you know, your investments and the different things that you want to do? I think a lot of people would love to find themselves in that situation.
Yes.
Not necessarily with a pile of money that they just spend.
Agreed.
But something that allows them to go do the things they would prefer to do.
Yes.
But they're not lucrative enough jobs to support
yeah.
any kind of lifestyle.
I agree.
And sadly, there are a lot of those jobs that people would like to be doing. 33% of the people surveyed said the best thing about winning a huge jackpot would be getting out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that because I've managed to get myself more or less debt-free, and that is a pretty good feeling.
You betcha it is.
22% said being able to help friends and family would be the best part.
Yes. And who would you help first, friends or family?
Well, I would take care of family because I got to be honest, I've been broke more than once. Let's just put it that way. And I don't mean kind of on hard times. I mean flat busted. And there are other words that could be inserted in there just to show the magnitude of the situation. And my family has really always helped me out. So
you would help family first.
If I had a big old pocket full of cash, a lot of it would have to go in their direction.
Yeah.
Just to be fair.
Well, mine would be my kids, obviously.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Coppinger can just fend for himself, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Mike. Poor Mike.
And you know what? We're taking a chance because I know for a fact that he is up this morning. So I could get a letter from a lawyer later today.
No, you're going to get a bill. He said, just in case you win that lottery, I set up an account at the lumberyard, so we're ready to go. You
know? Yes, exactly.
14% of the people surveyed said the best thing about winning a whole pocket full of cash would be the freedom to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have talked to some people. I knew a gentleman who came into a bit of a windfall because a company that he was affiliated with, he had a lot of stock in a local company. It was acquired by a much larger company. So he wound up being bought out for really a fantastic amount of money, at least in his estimation. And he was in his late 50s, I guess, when this happened.
Mm.
And he said his biggest problem, he ultimately went back to work in his 60s because he said, I was too young to just sit around all day. He said, we have this fantasy that just being able to do whatever we want, whenever we want, is the way it's going to be. But he said, it's really hard to fill that time when you've got nothing but time.
You know? Exactly. Yeah, it looks really good on the outside. But then when you're on the inside living it, those days can get very long.
I always remember when I was in the military, and I know you've got your daughter's married to a military member, and I would go on leave, and I would always take it all at once because I was in a shop where it was kind of difficult to split it up.
Oh, okay.
So this is 30 days. You could take a full month off when you were in the military at the time. And I did the same thing. I would say, oh, this is going to be great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go home. First few nights you're back. You know, your friends make a special point of getting together with you and hanging out and doing all the things. But then you've got a period of time where they're just living their lives.
Yeah.
They've got kids to take care of. They've got family obligations.
And they're
working. Yeah. They work all day. So it's not like you can just call up your pals and buddies and say, hey, let's party. You know,
no, you're absolutely right.
It's Tuesday night, Todd. I can't party, man. I got to be up in the morning. You know.
I think if you take little blocks of time, you appreciate it a lot more.
I think so, too. Because you generally have some plan for it if it's just a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Life's so hard.
It is hard, Todd.
So here's my question. I don't buy lottery tickets.
I don't either.
Yeah, me either.
It's
all academic for us because we're not going to win that big prize. I used to send back the Publisher's Clearinghouse stuff, though.
I used to be roped in on that, and then I had these magazines I hated because they make you feel like you don't have to buy a magazine, but you're going to be at the bottom of the pile if you don't. But if you buy a magazine, then we're going to move you maybe to the middle of the pile.
They definitely – well, I think the courts ruled several years ago. There was a guy who bought all kinds of stuff he did not need.
Mm-hmm.
And when asked why, he said, well, they told me I'd have a better chance of winning the sweepstakes.
They did tell you that.
And the court said you did kind of tell him that.
Yeah.
So Publishers Clearinghouse had to – Clearinghouse, I can't even say it – had to change their ways. But the other thing to remember – in our more sensible moments, we realize even if your odds improve, they're still terrible.
They're still terrible. You might get struck by lightning before that happens.
Yeah. So instead of the odds being 6 million to 1 against you, it's a mere 2.5 million to 1 against you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kat, whatever happens, I hope that when your ship comes in, when you get that big old pile of cash, you need a personal assistant. You can call me and I'll be at your disposal.
Fantastic. I'm going to hold you to that.
We'll talk about price later. I'm Todd Weinberger, and she's Kat. Once again, I want to remind you that we want to thank Jody Hughes and the folks at the Livingston County Farm Bureau. They set us up with some gas cards we gave away this morning in honor of National Ag Day. So thanks to them.
Yeah.
And Kat, what's coming up on your show today?
Well, you know, we're going to talk about a turtle.
Really?
Have you ever, I mean, we gain weight.
Sure.
But have you ever thought about 11 pounds of coins in your gut?
No.
We're going to talk about that later today. One of the many things, here's the deal. Erin is off this week, so Dana was filling in for Erin. Dana has had a loss in the family and now is unable to do that. So it's going to be WCAT till 7 o'clock, but Ginger is going to join me. So who knows? It's just going to be a crazy show.
It's going to be an interesting day here on the second day of spring.
It is. Dana will be back on Friday.
Very good. I'm Todd Weinbrenner, and she's Kat, and this is Jock Gibberish on Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ.